Thanks, Miranda. That's quite helpful. Jacinda Ardern, she said just before Christmas, she said, "I am clawing my way to Christmas." I thought, yeah, that's a good way of summing up the way I feel, is I'm just feeling like I have enough in the tank to get to the 27th. But it's been a tough year mentally, physically. It's just been a tough year. And I know January the 1st is just a date, like it's just another day. But for me, it's mentally a refresh day. And I know that something will happen in me that will say, okay, let's get ready for another year. Let's run hard again. And let's go. I know that's going to happen. It's happened every other year of my life, and I know that it'll happen. But before we get into grabbing a hold of everything that 2021 has for us, today I would like to reflect on what do we need to let go of? What do we need to let go of? Before we take up, what do we need to let go of? And to help us do that, I'm going to read from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And get us to reflect on this passage. Hopefully it's well known to you. But even if it's well known to you, I'm sure it has something fresh for you. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I wonder, as you listen to that passage, what stuck out for you? What words kind of spoke to you? What did God have to say to you? I'm a friend of Andrew McDonough. You know Andrew McDonough? He's a Baptist pastor. And he has written a bunch of books he's an illustrator and a storyteller, and he's written a bunch of books, most famous of which is called Cecil the Sheep. He's written three books on this one passage. Basil the Branch, Basil and the Secateurs, and the Gardener and the Vine. I find it interesting, out of all the themes that he's decided to write a few books on, John 15 is the one that he really wants to tell kids the story of. Anyone with kids have these storybooks? Yeah, well, if you don't, help him out and go buy some. But he's an Adelaide guy. I want to read to you today Basil and the Secateurs. And children, secateurs, you know what secateurs are? They're the sharp cutting things like scissors that you use to cut vines and rose bushes. Don't we use them to cut rose bushes, Deborah? So have we got it up there? "Once there was a beautiful grapevine, and on that vine lived a branch named Basil. Basil looked at his leaf and said, 'What a luscious leaf.' He twirled his tendrils, What terrific, trendy tendrils. He gazed at his grapes. What giant, juicy grapes. Basil was a happy branch. Suddenly, a dark shadow fell. There stood the gardener, and in the gardener's hand... No, no, not the sack of tears. Ah! Cried Basil. I'm telling story to children, all right? That's what you do. Snip. That's it, Lucy. Thank you. Basil slowly opened his eyes. He was still alive. He looked for his luscious, lovely leaf. It was gone. I've been pruned, groaned Basil. But Basil was not one to let things get him down. Well, at least I still have my terrific, trendy tendrils and my giant, juicy grapes, he said. Then the dark shadow fell. There stood the gardener, and in the gardener's hand, no, no, not the sack of tears, ah, cried Basil. Snip. Basil opened his eyes. He was still alive. He tried to twirl his terrific, trendy tendrils, but they were gone. I've been pruned, groaned Basil. But Basil refused to let things get him down. Well, at least I still have my giant, juicy grapes, he said. Then the dark shadow fell. There stood the gardener, and in the gardener's hand, no, no, not the sack of tears, everybody cried. Ah, oh, okay, you cry whatever you want. I wanted you to cry, not the sack of tears. Let's try that. Not the sack of tears. That's it, cried Basil. Basil opened his eyes and gazed at where his giant, juicy grapes had been. They were gone. I've been pruned, groaned Basil. Basil was down. Then Basil heard a voice. Hi, Basil. He looked up. There was the grapevine, and on the grapevine's face was a big smile. Basil, I am the vine, and you are the branch. The gardener prunes every branch that has grapes so that next summer you'll produce even more grapes. Ah, sighed Basil. And sure enough, when the next summer came, Basil found he had a new, lovely, luscious leaf, more terrific, trendy tendrils, and a beautiful big bunch of giant juicy grapes. And that's the end of the story. With vines, the aim is to produce fruit. That's the aim. To produce more fruit, not less. And so we hear in this passage Jesus taking this really simple picture of a gardener, a vine, and a branch, and saying, this gardener wants you to produce more fruit in your life. And the way that we're going to do that is through two things. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, in verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. You'll produce more fruit as you remain in my words. And then the second way that he talks about is you need to remain in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. So those are the two things that you get to do to produce fruit. There is something God does, though. He chops. He prunes. The gardener chops the vine. He prunes it. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, the Father removes and cuts away. So there's a warning. If you are connected to the vine and are fruitless in your life, then you get a really serious chop. But even if you are connected to the vine and are fruitful, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. If you have fruit, you get a chop. If you don't have fruit, you get a chop. Either way, there's some cutting to be done. And so I'd like us to think about what is the cutting that needs to be done in our life. I do think, and hear me on this, there is a warning here. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. There is a warning. A fruitless life, disconnected from Jesus and the life of the vine, will be cut off and chucked away and burned. I reckon that's meant to make us go, I don't want to be that branch. I don't want to be the one that's chucked away and burned. But actually, the invitation as well is that if you do bear fruit, if you're really keen on having the life of Jesus in you and work out of you, then you will say, please, Jesus, please, gardener, come prune my life. Come prune my life. Today, I'd like us to think about how would God prune your life? In our lives, there are two things that I think God might want to cut out. The first one is the things that are rotten. You want to get rid of that. And often when we think about cutting back, I think some of us here, we think firstly about the rotten things in our life, things that grieve us, grieve other people, whether it be attitudes, mostly, often they're attitudes, behaviours. But there are things that are rotten in our life that we go, actually, God might want to cut that out of our life. But there is another thing, which is a strange thing to think about. God might want to cut good things out of your life too. Things that you like, you enjoy, things that you think are good, but he would like to cut them out because he wants even more fruit in your life. And I wonder how you figure out the difference. If there are rotten things in your life, you ought to join with God and say, please, God, cut that out. But how do you figure out to cut out the good things? I remember a few years ago, I had to decide to stop doing youth ministry and start working with big people. And I found that quite difficult because I really enjoyed, and still do, working with young people. And there were lots of other things I could have done to keep working with young people. But as I prayed, and as I read God's word, and as I talked to people, I was like, actually, there's a time now to leave this really good thing and go do some other good thing. Now, that was saying no to something that in a way I was successful in and doing well in, and everybody was encouraging me to do more in, and go and start again in another place. That was a good thing. Letting go of the good thing so God could do something new and good and fruitful from there. And I think about our lives, and as we approach this next year, often our temptation is to put in more. Just more. I'll just work harder and do more. And we put it on top of what we already have. Your life probably already has lots of very good things. Maybe too many. So what would have to go to add something in? And I would want you to think about this one thing in terms of answering that question. Jesus says that if you're going to remain in me, you need to remain in my words and remain in my love. Those are two things that he says. And often our life is full of so many good things, we struggle to remain in his word and remain in his love. Because there are too many other things pressing in on that. And it's hard to have everything else right when you haven't got these two things right. So maybe something you might need to consider is, what do I need to change so that my life has enough space in it to remain in his word more coming into the new year? What things might I need to change so my life has more space in it to remain in his love? Which he goes on to explain is about being obedient and doing his works. And when I have so little margin and too many things, those things get pressed out. I am definitely talking to people who are parents and workers. I'm definitely talking to us. Because we have so many good things in our lives, often these important things get pressed out. But I don't think it's just parents who are, and workers. I think it's all of us. So maybe that's one thing you can consider, is how am I going at remaining in his word? How am I going at remaining in his love? And before I say to myself, I need to just add more things in, what do I need to let go of first? So here's the question. I think I've got it on a slide up there. How is God pruning you? How is God pruning so you remain in Jesus and bear his fruit, remain in his words and remain in his love? That's the question I'd love for you to pray about and consider as we come to January the 1st. Let me finish by reading this passage again. Listen carefully to how God might speak to you through it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. And this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let me pray. As we consider our lives, our God, I think every person would say that they live full lives. And what we want to be bold enough to do now is to ask our God that you might take those holy secateurs and bring the snip into our life. Trim us. Cut us. Cut away what is rotten. And cut away even what is good, so that we may be more fruitful. God, your word does clean us, as it says we just read then. And for those of us who are eager to be more fruitful, we ask that we might hear what you're asking of us, how you want to prune us. Because God, the fruit that we have now, we would love to see even grow more. I just want to pray for our church as a whole. I certainly feel that this year, our God, you have been pruning us in lots of different ways. You've been cutting back. Maybe that's true of all the church, but it's certainly true of our church. I have felt the loss of that. But I am so excited for what it means for our church. Because if you are pruning, then you must have an expectation for more fruitfulness from us. And God, I look forward to what that might mean for us as we go into 2021. So our God, the great gardener, we are but branches in your hands. Prune us, shape us, help us be more fruitful, we ask. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks, Miranda.
If Andy and April could just come around, they're going to collect up your little trays. But keep your paper, and in fact, if you turn over the other side, you'll find it's some secateurs. Okay? This response that we're being called to today is not something we can do in 3 minutes, but I'd encourage you to take your paper home, turn over the other side, and start writing. Start thinking about some of the things that God might be asking you to prune. Spend some time with him and record it down. And that will start